I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Susan Koski, Chief Information Security Officer at PNC, a Fortune 500 company and one of the largest diversified financial services institutions in the United States. Evolution Equity TV is brought to you by Evolution Equity Partners, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. Joining us later will be Richard Seawald, founder and managing partner at Evolution Equity Partners. Welcome, Susan. Great to have you on with us today.
Hi, Steve. Nice to see you again.
So many people in the community follow you. For those of our friends who are out there watching us today who are not familiar, give us your background, 30,000 foot view on Susan Koski.
For me, I've been in cyber risk management, building teams and programs from the initial formation to fully mature programs for about 25 years. And, what I love is to see teams grow, people learn in their careers and go to the next level, and really helping people achieve that, but also helping the company have a great capability for those people and then ultimately deliver our risk management goals for the company.
So you and I had a chat with each other about a year ago, maybe not quite. And the topic was the talent shortage in our industry and what we're doing to recruit more people, whether that means young people, women, minorities, to try to welcome as many people as we can. Are we doing any better? It's a year later, or is it still the same challenge?
I think that it depends. As leaders, we have to lean into capabilities that may be unique. And there's always going to be really that market for talented people, but the demand is going to continue. So you can't always just buy every talent you need. Sometimes you have to grow that. So looking for early in career talent, building that, having a pipeline, whether it's a management or a technical kind of pipeline or distinguished engineer pipeline, so people know what their path to success is. The thing I always tell my people too is you shouldn't wait for opportunities to come up or positions in your team. Should always be out there recruiting and understanding the talent that's available. I think though for, looking at women and people of different backgrounds, that's also really important because, I think every background and making sure we're inclusive of all those backgrounds actually creates a good program overall to manage the company's objectives and goals. So I would tell you, I think we're doing a little better. I still think, we have a ways to go, but you see a lot of different programs coming up in different colleges or even with the government. But again, it's up to you as a leader to create that with your HR department and make your HR department part of it, help them understand the challenges of the space so that you're not only curating your own talent, but you're growing new talent.
So to build on that, let me ask you specifically about girls who are graduating from school. And the reason I ask is because over the past 5 years, we've seen an enormous number of new bachelor's degree programs and master's degree programs in cybersecurity. So we're hoping, that there are more girls enrolled in those programs, which should mean, more of a pipeline. But I'm curious, as a hiring executive, do you see that? Are you seeing, girls applying to come into the industry for some of those entry-level positions out of college?
We are seeing women apply for those roles. And I think what you traditionally have seen is women end up being more in maybe a risk and governance role. But I'm starting to see more women in more of that very technical level from an application background or a coding background and not being afraid to take that on. I think that's also incumbent upon us as parents. If your child is a girl, a boy, whatever gender that they identify as, to curate that curiosity and not assume that there's a bias for one type of toy that child will play with.
Well, I have one daughter who's graduating from school now. She has some cyber experience, so it'll be interesting to see where she lands. Let me pivot and move this to, the top of the food chain, to the CISOs. You're one of them. And specifically in the Fortune 500, we did analysis. We counted up the number of women who hold chief information security officer positions in the Fortune 500. And unfortunately, that number right now is 15%. And it hasn't moved much. So in the past 5 years, it's held steady. So although we've seen a growth in the number of women in cyber from maybe 10% or so a decade ago, and now it's in the 25% to 30% range. We're not seeing that with the CISO positions. Any observations about that?
First of all, the good news is it has grown in the last couple of years. It's not staying stagnant. I think that what we have to do is really make sure that we're finding the right candidates for the right roles, you know, regardless of their background, and giving people opportunities. Sometimes they're stretch roles. Moving people around so that they get more exposure. To be a CISO, right, you have to spend the tour in a few different areas so that you can kind of grow, you know, be in that role and hit the ground running. So I think the things as us as leaders is incumbent upon how are our teams and our best folks getting that opportunity to learn and then being able to rotate into a different role that might be something completely different than what they do, but preparing them for that next level. It's always tough to get to this level regardless of who you are and your background. I think though that it's also how do we train that next generation and make sure the door is open. I've seen in different conferences a lot more women presenting. I've also seen some women presenting about their journey and their path to things like corporate boards. So if you ask me, I think the doors are always open. It's up to you to open that door for yourself as well.
So it's 2024, as always, you have so much on your plate. Maybe Gen AI wasn't the same discussion topic a year ago that it is right now, but it's big. Ransomware hasn't gone away, but I know that you have to worry about, you know, training all of the employees in your organization. I could probably go down a list of dozens of things that you're responsible for, but what rises to the top? What do you spend most of your time thinking about, or, you know, what are you most concerned about now?
I spend a lot of time on talent and making sure that we have the right mechanisms with talent, working right now with our HR partners to even up our program further. So that's one thing I consistently look at and worry about and make sure that we're doing what we can to retain who we have and attract any new people for roles that we do have open. As far as worries, you hit the nail on the head with ransomware. Maybe we call it extortionware because essentially sometimes they're not even ransoming for the decryption, but it's really about ransoming for you to get the data back, which to me is more extortion than anything. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue. People are going to pay. When you look at the way it's being exploited, phishing, you know, still up there. But if you look at the criminals and what they're pivoting to, it's much more around vulnerability exploitation, getting in, looking at third parties and even their forced parties, and finding the way in. So I think it's, in addition to that third-party risk, fourth-party risk, and Gen AI is there too. And how does it enable the criminals to be faster, to use those capabilities for deepfakes? But then conversely, when you think about just evolution of technology, disruptive technology, cybersecurity teams always pivot, right? We're always looking for the challenges and the opportunities. When you look at something like Gen AI, it's also, how do we use that ourselves? How can we use ourselves to be faster at looking things up, to be faster at response? So I always kind of pivot to say, can we use a disruptive technology for the benefit of the team that actually lights up a capability for them and gives them more space to do more curious learning?
You know, the hackers are always going to get there first because they're reckless and, you know, they don't spend as much time. They're not as thoughtful around, you know, what they're doing. Why are they doing it? Do you think that law enforcement, cyber fighters, whether it's, you know, Fortune 500 companies or anybody who's in cybersecurity, will catch up? Do you think that we'll be able to put Gen AI to as good use as the enemy is?
I think so. I think there are, I mean, when you look at like robotics process automation and things of that nature, right? We've had that in our fusion centers with things like, you know, SOAR capabilities for some time. So it's an automation concept. It's taking it to the next level. I think we can use those capabilities. We have to train our people and have them think differently and allow that space. But it's also partnering with other teams. And you say kind of keeping up with the arms race. That's why you have to be very connected in the industry that you're in, understanding information sharing, intelligence, because that information can actually help you pivot fast if you've got those connections to other firms, to law enforcement, to others where you're getting, here's the, and even your vendors, right? Knowing what they're thinking top of mind, don't go it alone. You're never going to be successful in this role or cybersecurity roles for that matter if you're going it alone. It takes you having negotiation, influence, listening skills to partner with all those other areas to really lift up that security is everyone's job at the company.
What are you hearing from colleagues in the industry? You're very well networked. I know you're out going to conferences, talking to other CISOs. Same concerns that you have? Are you hearing anything different?
Definitely hearing the same concerns around third-party risk, vulnerability exploitation, and to an extent, ransomware. But still, those themes are resonating with those colleagues, but also with the industry groups. They're resonating across.
Well, maybe we could get a bit of advice from you before we part ways here. We're talking about CISOs, your colleagues, but there's a lot of companies out there, small to mid-sized enterprises, small businesses where they don't have a CISO, they don't have full-time security staff. Some of them don't even have IT staff, but they have to, you know, stay up on these things. Public resources, anything that you could recommend to some of these smaller companies who are grappling with the same threats?
When you look at the United States, there are services from, you know, some government entities like CISA that they do some scanning of your environment without costs. So that's one resource to look at. They also have tips that they publish. CERT has things that they publish about vulnerabilities. So there's a lot of different resources out there. And again, even some of them doing that at a very minimal cost to help you understand what that cyber risk is. So I would say look into those. But I found some of those resources to be good. And then when you look at the industry that you're in, you know, there are things out there called the Information Sharing and Analysis Centers, or ISACs. If you are in, you know, a small business, but it still is in, I don't know, the telecom business, telecom area, telecom has an Information Sharing and Analysis Center. Most of those often have briefings about what's going on in the world, the threats, to stay tuned with.
Well, Susan, as always, you're a wealth of information. Last year, you came on once with us. Maybe this year, we'll get you twice. You'll come back on with us, sometime later in 2024.
Well, that would be lovely, Steve. It was great to see you today. Thank you and have a great day.
Now joining us is Richard Seewald, founder and managing partner at Evolution Equity Partners. Richard, welcome. Great to have you back on with us.
Hey, Steve. Great to be here. Great to be back again in 2024. And look forward to the discussion today.
So Richard, we're a decade into a talent crunch in our industry. I read a lot of reports and, you know, I know you do too. And sometimes I find it hard to believe because so much time has gone by, we're still stuck. So we check in, we talk to a lot of CISOs. They're at the top of the food chain. They have very large organizations. They've got their finger on the pulse. We recently had Susan Koski, the Chief Information Security Officer at PNC, a Fortune 500 company and one of the largest diversified financial institutions in the US, come on with us. We posed a question to Susan and she confirmed we are just still stuck in that cybersecurity talent crunch. And I wanted to ask you, Richard, you talk to so many people. What's your view?
Well, look, I think there are two things. There are skills gaps, and then there are talent shortages overall. And sometimes the skills gaps are actually more impactful within organizations in sort of the present environment. So there are two things there. Absolutely, shortage of talent out there in the cybersecurity space. I think some of the mitigants there can be automation, machine learning, and AI that replace tier one, tier two humans with automation capability, but that still doesn't address the skills shortage. And it's often the high quality, high impact roles within an organization where there are shortages. And often it's those shortages that create the greatest vulnerability for organizations as they need to defend and protect on a daily basis. The answer there is manyfold. Certainly training, certainly attracting more professionals to the industry. There are many initiatives like that. Evolution Equity Partners has its own. We work with Women Who Code in a very special training environment that aims to focus on professionals that are looking to gain access to the cybersecurity space, provide the training, the skills, and the capability for them to walk into roles where they can be impactful as they start on day one.
So to pivot from labor, we asked Susan about just cyber threats in general, her greatest fears, greatest concerns. No surprise that Gen AI, the weaponization of cyber criminals, although you touched on the other side, and I hope that we're weaponizing our cyber fighters, but she touched on that and ransomware as two of them. And I'd like to know, Richard, are those two at the top or near the top of your list?
Sure. I mean, whenever you speak to a risk professional in the industry today, ransomware and then the sprawl of machine learning and AI as a result of large language models and a generative AI are all part of the discussion with respect to top threats that are out there. With respect to ransomware, you know, we're seeing more specialized vendors addressing that. Let's see how that impacts vulnerability and defense measures that are out there. There are a couple of companies doing a great job there to kind of complement the current stack of technology that defends against ransomware, but clearly an area that needs to see improvement in the near term. The impact of ransomware over the next 3 years, Steve, you have forecasts on this. It's an astounding number, and we just need to do more to defend and protect against that. Again, next generation technology addressing that. We're seeing that in the market. We're funding some of those companies, and we hope that the outcome is a positive result for organizations around the world. With respect to machine learning and AI, look, machine learning and AI have been part of the cybersecurity stack for the last decade plus, maybe decade and a half, mainly on the detection and response side. We've seen that technology integrated in just about every major cybersecurity platform that's out there. What's different over the last couple of years is the implementation of large language models and generative AI. And large language models are now being deployed across large organizations where data is being utilized to train those algorithms. Hence, privacy requirements are at stake. We're seeing security issues, for example, hallucinations, and then larger attack surface that enables adversaries to have a bigger opportunity to gain access and create the type of disruption that they're after. So we're seeing specialized vendors that address that. We recently invested in Protect AI that looks at the developer builder ecosystem, kind of the foundational security requirements that you want to have in place as an organization as you put machine learning and AI algorithms into production. Protect AI is a market leader there. We're seeing a host of other areas that are now being addressed in next generation ways that help defend against what is an advanced attacker. Attackers are utilizing the same capability with advanced phishing attacks. And now we're seeing other capabilities that are being innovated in and around the attacker that, you know, create challenges for CISOs out there. So I think the two, in summary, ransomware and then the machine learning and AI sprawl that we're seeing within organizations is creating the challenges and also the opportunities for funding next generation companies that defend and protect against those types of vulnerabilities.
You know, listening to you, Richard, I'm going to have to remind everybody who you are. Richard Seewald runs one of the most respected venture capital firms in our industry, but you sound like a CISO, and that's a compliment. In fact, we had you on with Jamil Farshi, who's the CISO at Equifax, and that was the first interview we did in our series. And afterwards, he sent me a message and said, "Wow, that was one of the best conversations I've had. Can we do that again?" And we brought him back onto a panel with you. I don't think people realize how much you have to know and your firm has to know about this industry, about the threats, to make the type of investments that you do.
Thanks, Steve. We have a great team. And I think the team, underlying team, is the key aspect of being able to make the right calls. And we're fortunate to have a set of individuals that have been in this industry for, in some cases, since day one, and that have built technology, have built companies, have been operators, executives, and technologists in this category. So I rely on them quite a bit in terms of making the right calls and decisions, and we're always learning. So I think, you know, that pathway of always learning is important. And, you know, we'll continue that. We're excited about the current opportunity in the market. We're actively investing, and we'll certainly have some announcements over the next couple of weeks.
Richard, it's always great to have you on with us, and we'll be on with another Fortune 500 CISO shortly. I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Evolution Equity TV is brought to you by Evolution Equity Partners, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.